الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأكملان الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أما بعد، praise Allah abundantly and we ask Allah to exalt, dimension and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. We continue in Surah Al-An'am, particularly ayah number 18. Even though we had some time to go over it last week, I wanted to postpone the discussion on it until today, since this topic, the ayah basically is fundamental in our belief system. It has to do with the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah in regards to the names and attributes of Allah. Therefore, it needed a special attention and clarification accordingly. The ayah reads, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. The ayah reads, وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ وَهُوَ الْحَكِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ. And he is the subjugator over his servants, and he is the wise, the acquainted, meaning he's acquainted with all things. Now, first we will read the tafsir of Shaykh Abdurrahman Nasir Sa'di rahimahullah, who said, in commenting on this ayah, فَلَا وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ فَلَا يَتَصَرَّفُ مِنْهُمْ مُتَصَرِّفٌ وَلَا يَتَحَرَّكُ مُتَحَرِّكٌ وَلَا يَسْكُنُ سَاكِنٌ إِلَّا بِمَشِيئَتِهِ. What that means is that there isn't anyone who makes any kind of action, who takes any kind of action, nor anyone makes any type of move, nor does even one remain put, does not make a move, except that it is by the will of Allah. So no one moves, no one does anything, no action takes place, no movement, no lack of movement, except by the will of Allah. Except by the will of Allah. وَلَيْسَ لِلْمُلُوكِ وَغَيْرِهِمِ الْخُرُوجِ عَنْ مُلْكِهِ وَسُلْطَانِهِ. And the rest of the kings and the presidents and the people of authority, all of them also have no way to escape being under the subjugated by Allah Azza wa Jal, and being under His ultimate power and authority. There's no way around it. You cannot escape it. They're subservient to Allah Azza wa Jal in spite of them. بَلْ هُمْ مُدَبَّرُونَ مَقْهُورُونَ. Rather, their affairs are being arranged and they are subdued. They are subdued. فَإِذَا كَانَ هُوَ الْقَاهِرُ وَغَيْرُهُ مَقْهُورًا كَانَ هُوَ الْمُسْتَحَقُّ لِلْعِبَادَةِ. So if Allah Azza wa Jal is the subjugator and everything else is subjugated, therefore He is the only one who is worthy of worship. He's the only one worthy of worship. وَهُوَ الْحَكِيمُ فِيمَا أَمَرَ بِهِ وَنَهَى وَأَثَابَ وَعَاقَبْ وَفِيمَا خَلَقَ وَقَدَّرْ. And he is the wise. He is the most wise in regards to when he commanded and when he forbade. So when Allah made halal or made permissible, then it's based on Allah's wisdom. Don't question that. Don't second doubt. And what Allah made haram, same thing. How come? Why this and that? If you're trying to learn the wisdom to increase your knowledge, that's fine. It's an okay question. But if someone's trying to ask because they're not convinced with the reason behind Allah's decision or Allah's command, that's something totally different. And we cannot afford to be in this position. Same goes for everything, the reward which Allah Azza wa Jal gives. Alaykum salam. The reward which Allah gives and the punishment also is based on Allah's wisdom. وَفِيمَا خَلَقَ وَقَدَّرَ. In everything which Allah created and everything which He decreed also, Allah's wisdom is part and parcel of everything. So in the creation of Allah and the arranging of the affairs and the reward Allah gives and the punishment Allah promises, in everything that Allah does, there's ultimate wisdom behind it. Al-Khabir al-Muttali'u ala al-Sara'iri wa-Dama'iri wa-Khafaya al-Umur. And he is al-Khabir, the well-acquainted or the expert, who knows the secrets and what is hidden and that which is not visible from the matters of everything. That is that which is beyond what is visible. وَهَذَا كُلُّهُ مِنْ أَدِلَّةِ التَّوْحِيدِ. All these are then evidences for the oneness and uniqueness of Allah. Now here the Shaykh did not touch upon the topic which we wanted to touch upon, which is وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ. What does فَوْقَ mean?
Above.
That's why the ulama used this particular ayah as one of the evidences of Allah's transcendence over His creation. When you want to prove to someone that Allah is not everywhere and that Allah is above the creation, this is one of the evidences. وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ. He is the irresistible, the subjugator over His slaves. That does not only mean in the non-tangible sense, if we may say, it also has to do with Allah's existence Himself. His essence, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is also above His creation. Because that preposition accommodates all of these meanings. And when you understand it in the light of other ayat, يَخَافُونَ رَبَّهُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ, when Allah described the malaika, they fear their Lord who's above them. Also fawq was used. مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ. The ulama say that min with fawq can only be in reference to the physical essence of something. It is not metaphorical. It is not metaphorical. Of course, along with the other ayat and ahadith, which we should all be familiar with, but we're just saying that this is one of the evidences which is used, and these are the evidences we need to be familiar with when or if we wind up having this discussion with a fellow Muslim who may be unaware. Most Muslims, wa alaykum salam, most Muslims are unaware about this aspect of our religion. They've never been introduced to it. Or in a subtle way, at a young age, they were introduced to the idea that Allah was everywhere with no elaboration. So they grew up and all they knew that Allah is everywhere. So when you try to bring to their attention something contrary to that, they reject it. They reject it and they think it's a little odd, and then they go into all kinds of issues. So we have to be familiar with these ayat in order to deliver the proper message to the people. Ayah number 19 reads, let me just go to the English right away. قُلْ أَيُّ شَيْءٍ أَكْبَرُ شَهَادَةٌ قُلِ اللَّهُ شَهِيدٌ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكُمْ وَأُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ لِأُنذِرَكُمْ بِهِ وَمَنْ بَلَغَ أَإِنَّكُمْ لَتَشْهَدُونَ أَنَّ مَعَ اللَّهِ آلِهَةً أُخْرَى قُلْ لَا أَشْهَدُ قُلْ إِنَّمَا هُوَ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ وَإِنَّنِي بَرِيءٌ مِّمَّا تُشْرِكُونَ. Say, what thing is greatest in testimony? Say, Allah is witness between me and you. And this Qur'an was revealed to me that I may warn you thereby and whomever it reaches. Do you truly testify that with Allah there are other deities? Say, I will not testify with you. Say, indeed, he is but one God. And indeed, I am free of what you associate with him. The Shaykh rahimahullah says, قُلْ لِمَا بَيْنَا لَمَّا بَيَّنَّا لَهُمُ الْهُدَى وَأَوْضَحْنَا لِمَنْ أَوْ لِمَا بَيَّنَا لَهُمُ الْهُدَى وَأَوْضَحْنَا لَهُمُ الْمَسَالِكِ لَمَّا بَيَّنَا لَهُمْ. Okay, say to them, you have a shadda on yours? Forget about bayanna. Lamma. Do you have a shadda on the meem? There you go. Mine doesn't have a shadda. So, lamma bayanna lahum. What does lamma mean, tayyib? It's okay.
When?
Huh? Yes? Yes? Any other meaning? Any other meaning? Tab, do you know? Can you quote an ayah where it comes? We'll talk about it later. لَمَّا بَيَّنَّ لَهُمْ الْهُدَى. When we show them the guidance, say to them, meaning after we have already showed them the guidance, because if someone did not receive the message, are they held accountable or not? Someone has not yet received the message. They have not received the message. Are they accountable? No. They're not accountable. What is the evidence? Surah Al-Isra. وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. We were never to punish anyone until a messenger has been sent. So, and from this ayah, the scholars understand, then you must be warned before you are held accountable. Unless that thing is part of the deen which is known as al-ma'loom min al-darura. Bil-darura. Al-ma'loom bil-deen min al-darura. Or ma'loom min al-deen bil-darura. The thing which is a necessity of the religion, you must know. You cannot afford it. I didn't know Tawheed. I thought worshipping idols was okay in Islam. Can any Muslim say this now? No way on earth. Because this is something that is known of the religion. It's not a fiqh issue about purity of orange juice if you were to make wudu with it. This is something totally different. The fundamental aspects of the deen, which are known it's a necessity upon every Muslim to know he is not excused for saying, I didn't know. Committing shirk, a person is not excused in this particular regard. Worshipping a dead man, you're not excused. Why? The whole religion was founded upon the opposite of that. How could you have entered this religion if you never knew what you were entering into? So therefore, but if a person, however, has not received the message, meaning zero, then that person will be held accountable by Allah, will be tested by Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah. We cannot say that this person will end up in the hellfire permanently. We say they're kuffar until the message has been delivered. We still go by the asl. The asl is he's not a Muslim, so he's a kafir. But we don't say he's going to Jahannam. Why? Because he never received the message of Islam. Never received the message of Islam. So his affairs with Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So there are two extremes. Anytime, a person who's in a situation, someone who, for example, the hadith mentions someone who's deaf. Someone who's deaf and there were no means to show him something to read. So the verbal message wasn't communicated to this person, and at his time there were no alternatives. Someone who has Alzheimer's, someone who has old age, someone who has already reached old age, and then you try to communicate to them and they don't understand. Yani the messenger came when they were already at old age. They were never at a point where they could receive the information adequately. You understand? So, or someone who lived in an area where there was absolutely, they were in a jungle somewhere, no messenger was set, made it over there. Anything, we don't know. The bottom line is these issues are none of our business, because you cannot really encompass them. We say this is the fundamental principle. Allah is just. So no one will be wronged and no one will be punished if they did not receive the message. How that applies doesn't really concern us, because you can never really figure it out completely. Okay? Anyway, so we won't get off track here. So say to those to whom the guidance has already been delivered. The noise. I'm very picky about the noise. Barakallahu feek. وَأَوْضَحْنَا لَهُمُ الْمَسَالِكِ And we clarified for them the maslak. Maslak is like a path which you take. Of course, that term has multiple connotations. So it could be used in a Sufi context, you know, as like almost like a tariqah. Maslak and tariqah could be actually synonymous. Or it could be in the fiqh, has its own connotation. And in this general sense, the Shaykh is using linguistically has its own meaning, obviously. Maslak is a tariqah الذي تسلكه, the path which you tread upon, that you choose to tread upon. That one is the maslak. أي شيء أكبر شهادة على هذا الأصل العظيم. What is the greatest testimony over that great fundamental principle? قل الله أكبر شهادة. The testimony of Allah عز وجل is the greatest. فهو شهيد بيني وبينكم فلا أعظم منه شهادة. So the testimony of Allah is greater. He is the witness between all of us. ولا أكبر وهو يشهد لي بإقراره وفعله. And Allah عز وجل is testifying for me, meaning the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, بإقراره, by Allah's acknowledgement and Allah's actions. That's by the way one of the miracles of the Prophet ﷺ, or one of the evidences about the truthfulness of the message of Islam. Why? Because the kuffar were saying that Muhammad ﷺ, the messenger of Allah, he was inventing this Quran. صح? He invented the Quran and he claimed to be a messenger, and he made all these allegations against Allah. So if it were true, If it was true that he was lying, then you would expect that Allah would destroy him. But what do we find historically? That Allah aided him throughout his mission until today. Yani until today, the very existence of the ummah. Alaykum salam. The existence of the ummah and the fact that it continues to grow. The Muslims on daily basis are growing in numbers. This is the evidence of Allah's support to the Prophet ﷺ all the way from the time he was sent as a messenger from his advent until today. It's an amazing thing. You would assume that he would be destroyed or that something will contradict it at some point, like Paul. If someone said, okay, well, if according to your analogy or your principle, then Paul also shouldn't have been in this position, right? How come Paul was able to spread Christianity for so many years and so on and so forth. But the truth is that Paul was opposed. And Paul's religion has been pretty much put to an end by Islam. Mind you, kufr will remain. We're not saying that Islam will eradicate Christianity. But in terms of belief, the average person, if you were to present to him the Pauline theology and the that of the Prophet Muhammad based on Allah's revelation, then ultimately anyone with the sound mind will choose the Prophet Muhammad's religion, Islam, because of its affirmation of Tawheed. And they would look at Pauline as a very confusing philosophical dogma. Until now, Christians don't know how to deal with what's going on in their own religion. The average Christian does not know what's going on in the world. Ask him a few questions and corner him, and then he will back out. The learned ones among them are aware, very often are aware of their discrepancies and lies, but they hold certain positions in this life that they cannot afford to give up. Nice position, you know, a priest will find a bunch of women who cannot have children, he will say, I'll fix that problem for you in my own way. No need to elaborate with the presence of youngsters. They caught him in Egypt, they caught him all over. This is some crazy, ludicrous stuff. They know better. But you know, position. Dunya. Al-Muhim. فَيُقِرُّنِي عَلَى مَا قُلْتُ لَكُمْ كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى وَلَوْ تَقَوَّلَ عَلَيْنَا بَعْدَ الْأَقَوِيلِ لَأَخَذْنَا مِنْهُ بِالْيَمِينِ ثُمَّ لَقَطَعْنَا مِنْهُ الْوَتِينِ. And further, Allah Azza wa Jal endorses me for what I say to you. Yani the Prophet ﷺ was making a very powerful statement. إِنَّا سَنُلْقِي عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا سُسْتَقِيل. It was heavy. What he was communicating to the kuffar was heavy. You know, for you to stand in front of people and say, if you don't obey me, you're going to the hellfire. Eternally. Is that heavy or what? I mean, that's big stuff. That's big stuff. Only a messenger can really say that. No one else can say that. Only a messenger can say that. So that is heavy, a heavy communication to his people. And Allah Azza wa Jal was endorsing the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with these very powerful statements that he was making, either from his sunnah or the ones that Allah revealed to him in the Quran. فَاللَّهُ حَكِيمٌ قَدِيرٌ فَلَا يَلِيقُ بِحِكْمَتِهِ وَقُدْرَتِهِ أَنْ يُقِرَّ كَاذِبًا عَلَيْهِ. Allah then is all wise and all capable. Therefore, he would never allow someone to lie against him in this manner and get away with it for a duration of time. Obviously, many dajjals, many different liars will come about and will make lies. But Allah Azza wa Jal always appointed people from the truth to refute. For example, this guy who just recently died, Nazim al-Haqqani, whatever his name is, right? Yes, that Sufi master.
He died?
Yeah, he died. Not Nazim, the other one. Rabbani something. Muhim, one of their big heads. What was his name, ya Umar?
Haqqani.
Hey, what's his first name? Al-Muhim, it's all over the news. It's all over the world, right? Of course, his followers, they're saying he didn't die. He just went and he's going to come back later, you know? He's just playing games with the people. But anyways, some people go to the extreme of cursing him out. And they say this person and that person. And in reality, this is not the job of the average Muslim. Okay? The person was obviously misguided and he was misguiding others. Big time. In matters of shirk. Forget about fiqh or anything which we can accommodate a difference. It was a matter of tawheed and shirk. Nevertheless, it is not for the average Muslim to be speaking about him now that he died. This is for the people of da'wah. The people of da'wah, because we have evidences from the Salaf that when Al-Hajjaj died, people were prostrating to Allah. The ulama were making sujood al-shukr to Allah that Al-Hajjaj died. And many instances in our history when an evil innovator died, the ulama would rejoice. They would be happy. They would announce his happiness because it was a musibah upon the Muslims that Allah has saved the ummah from. So it is a legitimate thing. But for every Tom, Dick, and Harry to be running his mouth, even though he's not in that position, he doesn't even know what's going on, then that is something that we shouldn't do. Because this question now is becoming very common. You know, people cursing him out, saying this and saying that. Don't worry about it. But anyways, even if we have Dajjalin, you know, compulsive professional liars who will come out, it doesn't mean that every time someone comes, Allah Azza wa Jal will not give him any room or any space. Because Allah decreed that there will be sirah بين الحق والباطل إلى يوم القيامة. Until the end of time, there will be this ongoing battle between truth and falsehood. And each one has its own representatives. This is a normal situation. But Allah has made the truth so powerful that it will destroy falsehood. بل نقذف بالحق على الباطل فيزهقه فإذا هو زاهق فيدمغه فإذا هو زاهق ولكم الويل مما تصفون. Rather, we flinch with the truth against falsehood, so it demolishes it, it destroys it. And so it becomes, it will vanish, the falsehood will vanish, and woe to you from that which you ascribe or describe about Allah Azza wa Jal. طيب. أي زاعما أن الله أرسله ولم يرسله. So Allah wouldn't let someone lie against him by claiming that Allah sent him even though Allah did not send him. وأن الله أمره بدعوة الخلق ولم يأمره. Or that he will tell the people that Allah commanded him to invite them even though Allah in actuality did not. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ أَبَاحَ لَهُ دِمَاءَ مَنْ خَلَفَ. And this is another grave thing, that Allah made lawful for him the blood of those who opposed him. Because when the Prophet ﷺ gave da'wah for so many years and there was rejection, then fighting in the cause of Allah was legislated. The bottom line of it was that if these people were not going to enter Islam, nor were they going to be under the rulership of Islam, the third option was battle. You know, these were the three levels of how it was done. First, they were invited to Islam. If they accepted, alhamdulillah, congratulations, welcome. If they didn't accept, Allah wanted this message to be worldwide. Mind you, there was no FedEx and no DHL and no airplanes and no cars and no motorcycles. So for Islam to be available worldwide, no internet. Meaning Muslims had to be present all over the world to share the message with the people. Because the most important thing to Allah is that these human beings receive the message so they can get their opportunity to enter Jannah. That's it. That's why we were created. Not for anything else. Of course, we came up with our own, you know, infrastructure to be too busy to deal with that. But at the end of the day, in the simplest way, that is why Allah even created us. Therefore, it is necessary that Allah Azza wa Jal would ensure that the message would be available worldwide. How would that be? In the presence of the Muslims. So was there justice in the way Islam did it? Absolutely. First, da'wah. With good speech, with excellent exhortation, with good character, as the Muslims did in so many countries. You know, what, share the message of Islam. If the people accepted, alhamdulillah. If they didn't accept, fine. There was plan B, which was still nice. What was it? We have to take over. Because this is religion of Allah, it has to be available. And we will take care of you. So the people of Ahlul Jizya, those who were paying taxes under the Islamic rulership, were actually protected by the Muslims. And you go in the history of Christianity, the most prosperous time for Christians was under the rulership of Islam. Because they were not wronged. Their churches would remain available, so many things remain the way it is, but they weren't able to declare things or do things publicly which negated Islamic teachings. Other than that, if some Jews wanted to attack the Christians, and the Christians were within the Islamic land, then the Muslims would defend the Christians against the Jews. So we offered them then to be under our care and control, and they would pay as a compensation a small amount of tax, which is known as jizya. You might have heard this word before. If they refused both, we don't want to enter Islam and we don't want to be under your rulership, then what's the third option? Fight. Now you say, Akhi, but say, listen, this is what you do in a classroom. You're a teacher. You're a teacher. You have a student. You gently try to, you know, tell him to behave and do his homework. Huh? He refuses. He refuses. So then you say, okay, gentle is not working. I'm going to threaten you now. If you don't do your homework, I'm going to call your mom or I'm going to do whatever. Then he ignores that too. So now what? You're going to have two teachers in the class? Or are you going to let him become the teacher and you will exit? Or do you have to take leadership and make sure as a teacher you run your... I mean, of course, you're not going to fight with him, you know, the student, pull out a sword, say, I told you, do your homework. That's not what I mean. I'm speaking about the concept, the principle itself. When you've given him two options to work with you and he doesn't want to work, the bottom line is it's either me or you now. Khalas. So Islam has to be, كَلِمَةُ اللَّهِ هِيَ الْعُلْيَا. The word of Allah has to be most supreme. So you're not going to say to Christian, okay, fine, I'll live under your rulership. Huh? We're Muslims, we live under your rulership and you handle business. Because look what's going on in the Muslim world or in the Muslims in the Western countries today because of this concept. Muslims can't even call the adhan. Huh? Can't even call the adhan outside. Why? Well, it will wake up the neighbors. It will bother the neighbors. Can't do this, can't go for Jumu'ah. Why? It's work time. Yani, the restrictions are too many, even though there are some leeway, for sure, in other areas. But the bottom line is, it's not like a Muslim country. Even though you find in Muslim countries a lot of problems that you won't find in the Western world. You know, fairness, in all fairness. Nevertheless, we cannot be under their care and under their leadership. So then the fighting was legislated. And this is from the hikmah of Allah. And even when it was legislated, no women were to be killed, no children were to be killed, no trees were to be cut down, no property was to be destroyed. You know, all of the things which no one applies today in warfare, they were part of the etiquettes of fighting in Islam. And if they go for peace, then we would go for peace as well. So it wasn't about spilling blood as the kuffar today claim Islam was about, or Islam was spread by the sword and all this nonsense that they claim. It was really fair and square and legitimate. But at the end of the day, when the people rejected the Prophet ﷺ, they're technically making their blood lawful. After these two phases, phase three was in full effect. Na'am. Aina ana. وأموالهم ونساءهم, along with their wealth and their women, وهو مع ذلك يصدقه بإقرار وفعله. Yet all of, in spite of all of that, Allah is endorsing the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام with his words and his actions. فيؤيده على ما قال بالمعجزات الباهرة. So after the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام would make such he would tell them something, Allah will aid him with miraculous events, miracles, some outstanding miracles. والآيات الظاهرة, and the clear signs. وينصره, and Allah will aid him and give him victory. ويخذل من خالفه وعده, and Allah will, Allah Azza wa Jal will disappoint or will humiliate whoever opposed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. إن شانئك هو الأبتر. That's exactly what happened. Anyone who hated him was the one who was cut off completely. Like right now, Abu Lahab, Abu Lahab. Can you see anyone on earth who would like to praise Abu Lahab? When you hear Abu Lahab, what do you think? The first word that comes to mind. When you hear Abu Lahab, what's the word? The first word that comes to mind? Tabbat. Sah? The first thing that comes to mind is Tabbat yada Abi Lahabin wa tab. You know what Tabbat means? May he be perished. May he be destroyed. So the first time you think of his word, the very next word that comes to mind is destruction and perish, something that is perished and gone. That's Abu Lahab. He hated the Prophet ﷺ, and he was cut off completely. And when he is mentioned, he's mentioned in the context of praise or deep praise. Deep praise. People hate him without even knowing him, without even meeting him. Subhanallah. So these are from the miracles, actually. This is a miracle of the Prophet ﷺ, that those who hated him went berserk. Now, فأي شهادة أكبر من هذه الشهادة. So what testimony is bigger than all of this? Subhanallah. وقوله أوحي إلي هذا القرآن لأنذركم به ومن بلغ. أي وأوحى الله إلي هذا القرآن الكريم لمنفعتكم ومصلحتكم. So Allah عز وجل has revealed unto me this noble Quran, so for your own benefit and advantage. لِأُنذِرَكُمْ بِهِ مِنَ الْعِقَابِ الْأَلِيمِ. So I may warn you also from the severe torment. وَالنَّذَارَةُ إِنَّمَا تَكُونُ بِذِكْرِ مَا يُنذِرُهُمْ بِهِ مِنَ التَّرْغِيبِ وَتَرْهِيبِ. Warning is only effective after you mention that which they should be careful of. Yeah, he said, I warn you, and then you have to mention what it is that will happen if the person does not comply. And that requires that you mention targhib and tarheeb. You know what targhib and tarheeb means? You must have heard them before. There's a book called the targhib and tarheeb.
Targhib means you want.
Okay, fine.
Tarheeb,
Thank you. Huh? ترغيب, yeah. ترغيب is actually making you look forward to something. So ترغيب is the inviting to that which you anticipate. ترهيب is making you scared or worried or cautious of something. So the Quran uses ترغيب and ترهيب. It invites you to Jannah. So it describes for you Jannah and the beauties of Jannah and Hur al-Ain and so on and so forth. On the other hand, tarheeb is when Allah mentions the hellfire and the torment and so on and so forth. So you have tarheeb and tarheeb. Something calling you to Jannah, making you excited and look forward to it. And something warning you against the hellfire so that you avoid it. وَبَيَانِ الْأَعْمَالِ وَالْأَقْوَالِ الظَّاهِرَ وَالْبَاطِنَ. It also necessitates the clarification of the deeds and the statements, both the outwardly and the inwardly. الَّتِي مَنْ قَامَ بِهَا فَقَدْ قَبِلَ النَّذَارَ. So that whoever fulfills them has technically accepted that warning. فهذا القرآن فيه النذارة لكم أيها المخاطبون. So this Quran has a warning to you all to whom this speech is being addressed. وكل من بلغه القرآن إلى يوم القيامة. And it includes everyone whom the Quran reaches him until the day of resurrection. فإن فيه بيان كل ما يحتاج إليه من المطالب كل ما يحتاج إليه من المطالب الإلهية. This Quran includes every divine request, every divine wish that Allah عز وجل has been included in this Quran. لما بين تعالى شهادته التي هي أكبر الشهادات على توحيده قال قل لهؤلاء المعارضين لخبر الله والمكذبين لرسله أئنكم لتشهدون أن مع الله آلهة أخرى قل لا أشهد. After Allah Azza wa Jal then mentioned that his testimony is the greatest of all upon his own oneness and uniqueness, then Allah said, say to those who are opposing the news which is coming from Allah and those who are belying his messengers, do you testify that there are other deities with Allah? Say, I do not testify. أي إن شهدوا فلا تشهد معهم. If they testify, don't testify with them. فوازن بين شهادة أصدق القائلين ورب العالمين وشهادة أسقى الخلق المؤيدة بالبراهين القاطعة والحجج الساطعة. Wow. So compare, you balance the testimony of the most truthful in speech, the Lord of everything, huh? And the testimony of the most pure of the creation, who has been aided and supported with undeniable and irrefutable evidences and proofs. عَلَى تَوْحِيدِ اللَّهِ وَحْدِهِ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. All of these come together to prove and affirm the oneness of and uniqueness of Allah having no partners. So the testimony of Allah Himself, then the testimony of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all of them are in order to register and prove the oneness and uniqueness of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَشَهَادَةِ أَهْلِ الشِّرْكِ. Now all of this, put it on one side of the scale. On the other side of the scale, put the testimony of the people of polytheism, the people of shirk. الَّذِينَ مَرَجَتْ عُقُولُهُمْ وَأَدْيَانَهُمْ. Those whose minds and religions have gone confused and chaotic. Huh? وَفَسَدَتْ آرَاؤُهُمْ وَأَخْلَاقُهُمْ. And their own intellect and their own character has been flawed. وَأَضْحَكُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمُ الْعُقَلَىٰ. And they become a joke in front of the intellectual people. The intellectual people mock them and make fun of them. بَلْ خَالَفُوا بِشَهَادَةِ فِطَرِهِمْ وَتَنَاقُضِ أَقْوَالِهِمْ عَلَىٰ إِثْبَاتِ أَنَّ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهَةً أُخْرَىٰ. Rather, they have even opposed their own natural disposition and their own statements by claiming that there are other, or affirming that there are other deities with Allah. مَا أَنَّهُ لَا يَقُومُ عَلَى مَا قَالُوهُ أَدْنَ شُبْهَةً. What they said, there isn't even a misconception, you know, a doubt, even a slight doubt doesn't exist to support their belief. فَضْلًا عَنِ الْحُجَجِ. Let alone actual proofs or evidences. وَنَحْنُ نَخْتَارُ لِأَنفُسِنَا مَخْتَارَهُ اللَّهُ لِنَبِيِّهِ. So the Shaykh said, we, meaning we Muslims, we choose for ourselves what Allah chose for His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, الَّذِي أَمَرَنَا اللَّهُ بِالْإِقْتِدَاءِ بِهِ, the one whom Allah has commanded us to follow. فَقَالَ قُلْ إِنَّمَا هُوَ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ. Say, rather, it is only one God. أي منفرد, meaning he is single. لَا يَسْتَحِقُّ الْعُبُودِيَّ وَالْإِلَهِيَّةِ سِوَاهُ. Nothing, Nothing deserves any form of worship, nor any form of glorification, in the sense, or deifying, except him. كَمَا أَنَّهُ الْمُنْفَرِدُ بِالْخَلْقِ وَالتَّدْبِيرِ Based on the fact that he's the only one who's responsible for creation and arranging affairs. وَإِنَّنِي بَرِيءٌ مِّمَّا تُشْرِكُونَ And verily, I am innocent of that which you associate with him. بِهِ مِنَ الْأَوْثَانِ وَالْأَنْدَادِ I'm innocent of these idols and these rivals. وَكُلَّمَا أُشْرِكَ بِهِ مَعَ اللَّهِ And anything which is associated with Allah. فَهَذَا حَقِيقَةُ التَّوْحِيدِ So all of this is the true essence of Tawheed. إِثْبَاتُ الْإِلَهِيَّ لِلَّهِ وَنَفِيهَا عَمَّا عَدَاهُ Very important summary at the end. That last sentence. We have to understand. It summarizes everything we said. How do you establish Tawheed? إِثْبَاتُ الْإِلَهِيَّ لِلَّهِ You affirm, huh? The lordship, if we may say, or the right of being worshipped to Allah. وَنَفْيُهَا عَمَّا عَدَاهُ Then you negate it from everything else. That's why, what do you say to become a Muslim? It's the same thing. لا إله. You're negating the lordship of any being. You affirming exactly, except Allah. If you have one without the two, you're a kafir. Sorry. If you say la ilaha, there's no God, like the atheists, you have a problem, right? And if you say hunalika alihatan ma'a Allah, there are other gods with Allah, you still have a problem. Even though you affirm the existence of Allah, you worship others with him. So when you go to the Hindus and the Buddhists and the Christians, they primarily fall into this category, which is they believe in this, you know, ultimate being, right? They believe in a God, but then how this God is in the manifestation is where they go totally astray. But they believe in a God, supreme power, existing, controlling things. Atheists don't have anything. So the whole idea, which is made by one of the, you know, du'at, which is a very erroneous statement, which is that the atheist is closer to Islam than the non-atheist, because he already said la ilaha, all you have to do now is prove illallah. Right? He already said there's no God, now just deal with accept Allah and it's done. Yeah, that's linguistically speaking true. Realistically speaking, over my dead body, the most difficult people on earth to give da'wah to are the atheists. These people are dumb. And when you're dealing with a dumb person, you can never win. Because they're dumb. They're deliberately dumb. They may be intelligent in math and science and whatever, like that guy Dawkins or whatever that British, you know, scientist is. He may be a genius in other things, but when it comes to these matters, they're as stupid as a doorbell. And you can never communicate anything logical with these people. Atheist, very difficult to give da'wah to. Christian, very easy. Relatively speaking, very easy to give da'wah to a Christian. Specifically because you have a common denominator, Jesus. Now you can say, Jesus, I believe in Jesus, Mary. If a Christian had never known that, it's a shock to him. That there's a non-Christian religion that believes in Jesus. Because all other religions don't believe in Jesus. So it's easy. Jews, difficult. But Allah told us in the Quran already that the most, you know, the people who have mawadda and are closer to the Muslims are Al-Nasara, those who say we are Nasara. And those who have the most enmity are the Jews and the Mushrikeen. Atheism is a form of shirk, because a person is worshipping his own ideology along with nothing. A. So here, na'am. So then we negate and we affirm. And this is how we establish the message of Islam. Tayyib, should we... Yeah, that's enough, inshallah. That's enough. Give you some time before Dr. Yahya arrives. So, inshallah ta'ala, if you all remain alive and healthy, and unless I wind up traveling, which is a possibility, there's a 60% chance that I will travel, 40% chance that I will not. Obviously, if I travel, there will be no class. If I don't travel, there will be a class, inshallah. So, how do we deal with this? I'll tell you how. First, we stop the recorder.